Hello.
There we go. You should be mine and I'm the butterflies. I'm into you. I'm not keeping that. I sound like shit. Sorry.
No, you sounded good.
No. It was like really bad. Like I don't want my reputation to be, but, like, I don't want people knowing me for that, you know?
But Sarah, in the death of her reputation, she felt
no,
truly alive.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But that, it does tie into
no.
It. Okay. Okay.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
That's what you sounded like. Go.
Yeah, but you thought it was funny.
I did.
Until you collected your laughter to then make fun of me.
Collected my laughter?
Collected yourself. I meant.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. I mean, podcast. Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Sarah and I are going to do a little recap of the year, which is why we're being weird, because it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm giggling now, but a couple hours ago, I was like almost in tears.
Like staring into the, like at the ceiling, being like.
I was reflecting on my year a couple hours ago, and it just felt like really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is about to sound crazy, so bear with me. I really see 2020 as like a positive year. I know that sounds insane, but I've just learned so much this year, and so much has come out of this year in my personal growth and in my friendships.
Mm-hmm.
That in general, it seems like a positive year. But then when I actually started to reflect, I was like, damn, this has been a year, and it hasn't been easy in any way.
I actually was having the same thought when I was walking over here. I really was, like, mm-hmm. And I almost felt like bad, because I think a lot of people who are listening, like, maybe didn't have the same experience, because like at the end of the day, I think we did have like relatively easy years.
For sure.
So I just, like, I want to say I am with you 100%. Like, I think everything I learned was, it was such an important year for me and overall positive for that reason. But, like, just sending peace and love to the people who, like, maybe are going through things right now and you can't, like, see the end of it. That maybe 2020 won't be your year. But, like, I know from experience now that, like, in a few months you will be able to reflect back, even if you go through the darkest things. Like, it was such a change year, a transition
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably just had, like, so many things were switched up for people.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting because on one hand, in the grand scheme of things, like, we did have an easy year. Like, thank God.
Everyone in our family is healthy.
Yeah, everyone in our family is healthy. Thank God. Thank God. Like, it was a relatively easy year. Like, we weren't, you know, I could go on and on. But that being said, to give us credit, I think that we faced many, many, many challenges. And the reason why we see this year as a positive year is because we forced, like, growth. We basically forced ourselves to find the positive out of the negative. It's not like all these great things happened this year. It was like a very, very challenging year. But I think we both were just like, how can we see this as a lesson or a moment of growth or a positive or whatever it was, which was really hard to do. But I think that's why we, like, overall see this year as a good one.
And I think it's a testament to how much we have gone through therapy and, like, been committed to that. And I, like, can't advocate for that enough. Anyway, my point is, it's not just, like, because we're so lucky and, like, had the best years ever. It's really because I think we have done so much work in our lives to be able to see the positive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're actually going to do a sort of similar format to what we did last year. And Sarah and I both listened to last year's recap of our podcast, and it was it was interesting.
To say the least.
To say the least. But anyway, we want to remind everyone once again about our partner, BetterHelp. They are an online counseling service. If you take an evaluation, they have experts in every field, licensed therapists in every state, and they are available anytime, both for video conferences and you can text them through their online chat system. We've been working with them for a while now and we are so happy to.
Mm-hmm. So you can head to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's better, HELP.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month. And listen, folks, January is coming up, so this could be a great first month.
Yes, I agree. Good time to reset.
Good time to reset.
I don't believe in the whole, like, everything's going to change, but it is a good chance. It's a chance for a different mindset.
We can get into this later, but the way I simply don't believe in New Year's mattering at all anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone's like, 2020, this my year. Like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
January 1st is simply another day.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to, as we just said, like, restart if you're looking to change something in your life. Mm-hmm. But just know that by January 2nd, it's not going to be different.
Yeah. And, like, don't beat yourself up when it doesn't happen the way you may have thought it would.
Correct.
I mean, January, to be honest, is like it's so crazy because January to me was always the worst month of the year. Mm-hmm. And so when we went through January and February this year, I was like, okay, we made it through the bad times. Little did I know.
Did you see that TikTok? That girl, she was like,
oh yes.
It's like February 1st. She's like, hey guys, it's February 1st, 2020. So that means we officially made it through our worst month of the year. And then she like duets herself like last week and she's like,
yeah, she's like laughing so hard.
She's like cracking up.
Okay. So do you want to start with something that brought us comfort this year?
Sure.
I can start.
Okay.
So I feel a little embarrassed that this is my thing that brought me comfort because I don't know if it was my thing last year. And
I'm going to cut you off for a second.
Okay. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. Okay. I'm the one cutting you off.
Standing here like clenching my jaw.
Let's try not to be embarrassed or like upset with ourselves because it's 2020 and like, yeah.
Thank you.
That's all I had to say.
Thank
don't
you
be
for saying that. Yeah. This is the theme of my day because this is exactly what I talked about in therapy. My thing that brought me comfort is Chris Woods.
Aww.
I'm going to explain why I felt embarrassed, but I'm going to try to not. It's just because I feel like the episode of, Luann when on Real Housewives, when she's like, my rose is my husband, like they're all going around saying their roses of the year. And like, she just got married, so she has to keep talking about her husband.
Right.
But I am just so lucky that I have him because he has been like there for me through everything this year, like truly through everything. When we thought it couldn't get worse, that like we were all quarantined together, which we'll get into, but like that we were all quarantined together and like just everything happened with me and like my social media, he was just there the whole time. And I know it was really hard for him because like seeing someone you love going through something bad is really hard. Mm-hmm. And he just like didn't let on that to me. Like he was just completely like just so strong the whole time. And I feel every day so lucky that I have him and that I found him when I did. So that's my thing that brought me comfort.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm going to cheat throughout this entire episode and like not just pick one thing.
Oh, that's fine. That was the only one I have one thing for.
Okay. Cause I was like, I could not, I know that's cheating. I am aware, but like I'm indecisive.
This is our show.
Yeah. You know what? You're so right. Okay. So two things in particular brought me comfort this year in 2020. One of them was my parents when I went home in June, end of June, beginning of July. My parents and I, like, we are all very passionate and we fight and we are loud. And sometimes there is really, like, my dad and I are the same person. So a fight between the two of us is just never ending. Mm-hmm. And it won't end until one of us decides to just give up, which never happens.
Right.
That being said, I was there for 3 weeks and like we really found a routine, and that like June and July were like really, really tough months.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, like I struggle personally, which I know I've talked about a ton, but like I have this huge fear of losing people. And when I'm around my parents, like they just show me, oh my God, my tears are not about to come like 9 minutes into this episode. They just like always tell me that like no matter what I do, like their love is unconditional for me. Mm-hmm. And like, oh my God. Like I think for someone who struggles with anxiety and like losing people, like having people tell you that like no matter what you do, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening already. I was going to wait until like at least 15 minutes.
I think it's only natural.
You know, just like having anxiety and having people tell you, like, no matter what you do, no matter how stressed you are, how much of a burden you feel like you are, like, we're always going to love you. And like, it was such a tough time. And so just like being in my like home that I grew up in with my parents, who were just like every single day telling me that, like, was really, really nice. And so, yeah, that was very comforting. Despite the fights that we were having at home, it was really, really nice. And then the other thing was my last apartment, 1101. Wow, I'm just gonna air out all my shit on this podcast episode.
That's okay.
But when we left for COVID, when we started quarantining, you know, everyone kind of dispersed, and
everyone from 11 from 11, your old apartment.
Yeah, and I felt like we had just, when you live with your best friend, sometimes, like, spoiler alert, you're just, it's not as like exciting on a day to day level. And then I hadn't been home for months. And when I came home, like, the only person that was there was my roommate, Laura. And like that first night that I came home, I was really anxious because I had been gone for 2 months. And like, there was just like high anxieties at the time. And like, she made me a dinner and she just like wanted to make sure, like, she took me on a walk to Central Park. And I remember being like, I can't go outside because like, I thought the air in New York City had COVID. And she just like really comforted me and was like, it's okay. Like, you're home now. You're safe. Like, it's going to be fine. So those were two moments of comfort this year.
Thank you for sharing that. It's like, it really, I know it's hard, but it's so nice to hear. Like, it just is making me feel like very warm inside. I love talking about feelings, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
Do you want to do greatest takeaway from therapy?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. I lied. I do only have one for this one. It was easy. The day after kind of like I got canceled, basically, I spoke to my therapist the day after and then the morning after that. So like 2 days after, it was a Monday morning. She just emailed me. Like, I think, first of all, having therapists who like care about you beyond session is so special because it just goes to show, like, of course it's their business. It's like how they make money. But when they like really have a connection with you, it's such a sign of a good therapist and also a sign of like a good relationship. Mm-hmm. She just messaged me like this quote card and it was, "This too shall pass." I mean, and it had a little more on it. And I've heard that before. My mom always says that to me, but it was just like exactly what I needed to hear because I'm smart enough. And like at the time, yes, I was so like going through it, but I had been through things in my life to know like this is not going to last forever, and I know I just have to like take this one day at a time. And so that was my biggest takeaway from therapy, and I think it's really appropriate to everyone this year, is like, this too shall pass. It's nothing lasts forever. Nothing.
I really love that, and that's something I've been trying to tell myself as well. Mine is pretty short as well, actually. Biggest takeaway that like had my mind exploding this year was that anxiety keeps you in a loop. Emotions help you get over it. Like, that's, it's really simple. And like, other people might be listening and be like, okay.
No, I don't think so. I think this is like kind of revolutionary.
It was revolutionary when I heard it, because my therapist was like, of course, because I remember I was feeling anxious about the same thing, and I still feel anxiety about the same things over and over and over. And like, I kept telling her, I'm like, I can't believe I'm coming to you with the same thing over and over. Like, why am I not over this yet? And she was like, of course you're still feeling it because you're anxious about it. And anxiety, what it does, it keeps you in a loop. However, if you let yourself be sad or angry, or you let yourself actually feel the emotion, you grieve it and then you get over it. Mm-hmm. And it just like really helped me. And I've really tried the last few months to like shift my anxiety from anxiousness to emotion. Mm-hmm. And then within like an hour, I'm feeling so much better. Like, that's why some people say they feel better after a cry, because you're like, you're going through it.
Or like a fight
it.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that helped me when you told me that helped me a lot too, because I think we've talked about this on the podcast, is like, we get really comfortable in our anxiety, mm-hmm. which sounds crazy. Like, who wants to feel anxiety? But it's true. Like, anxiety is a better feeling than like grief.
Yeah. And we know it.
Right.
We know it so well.
Right. Like, you're familiar with it. I mean, so often I find my shoulders clenched up and like my jaw clenched. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just fully anxious all the time. But when I let myself kind of like feel these deep feelings, it sort of dissipates, which is really special.
Exactly. Like, sorry, last thought about that thing is there have been so many therapy sessions where I start very, very anxious. And like the moment that I let the anxiety go and I start to feel the sadness come through, I literally feel my shoulders relax.
Yeah.
And like I feel better. And it's just so wild how that happens. So feel your feelings.
I have favorite song or like a song so that meant a lot. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go first. I've been going first too much.
But like I feel like okay, fine. Okay. My favorite song of the year was Modani, which is a song. I know it's funny. I chose a Hebrew song. But I was going through all like the songs from my top 20 Spotify, whatever. And I was just like, listen, Ariana Grande's. Well, actually, if yours is POV, then I won't. Is yours
no,
POV?
No, okay. No.
I was going to say like Ariana Grande's POV, like beautiful. Like You Broke Me First, Tate McRae, like great. But not my song of the year. My song of the year is Modani. And the reason for it is because the song is actually a prayer, and the prayer represents the gratitude that you have every morning. So the prayer Modani is the prayer that us Jews are technically supposed to say every morning, which I have actually been doing this year. So every single morning, like the first thing you say when you open up your eyes is basically like in summary, it's like, thank you so much for waking me up and like putting me back into my body. And I just really love this song because of the meaning, obviously. And it's just like, it's a good reminder that at the end of the day, like you might be facing a lot of hardships, a lot of struggles, but, I'm just grateful that I woke up every morning mm-hmm. and like, I felt good and I was me, and no matter how I felt about how I looked or whatever it was, like I am in my body, and that is something to be grateful for.
You know, Modani is one of my faves because it just reminds me of being a kid and like singing it at Hebrew school mm-hmm. and it has no like other thing tied into it, if that makes sense. Like I have such a specific vision of me being a kid and singing aww. That in Sunday school so that cute. It just feels like so inner child, you know?
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Thank you.
Mine, the song is by Taylor Swift and it's called The Lakes, and it's actually the bonus track from her album Folklore. And I wasn't like listening to it for some reason because she comes out with the album and I really enjoy it, but I'm not like a stan to the point where I'm paying attention to like when her bonus track comes out. But Alana sent it to me, and like literally the lyrics are like, I will say one thing I do connect with Taylor Swift about is that like she got canceled, and that she like, I think like it even though like she has this new life, like it obviously still really affects her. And that's like sort of how I feel to an extent, because so many things like changed with this whole year, and like some of them I actually have moved on from and I'm so proud of myself, and then some of them I haven't, and I'll like talk more about that. But like this is a good lyric. What should be over burrowed under my skin in heart-stopping waves of hurt. So her whole thing is like, what I should have been over, I'm not. Like it still is really painful. Mm-hmm. And it's just like about being canceled, and like she even talks about Twitter in it, and I just felt like I felt really connected to it. And the song ends on like kind of a happy note because she's like, I found this place where I can be separate from everyone and like do my own thing and feel proud of where I got, if you will.
Absolutely.
All right, we're getting into the heavy stuff now. Okay, the next one, which this is one I have multiple, I have a lot of answers for, so it might take us a while, is what did you learn this year? So let's go back and forth. Do you want to go back and forth?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to start like super superficial. Like really like.
So the question is, what did you take away / learn this year?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Number one, don't put your whole life on social media. It's like, I cannot stress this enough. First of all, stop saying dumb things on social media if you're 15 and listening to this. Like, please don't do it. And second of all, when you're 24, please don't like put your whole life on social media. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Stop doing it. I don't need to get more specific.
No, that's like literally like the best lesson
you
could give.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start with one that's not as serious.
My other ones are serious, so like, don't worry.
Okay.
That was serious, but like, yeah.
All right. Before I get to like deep, deep, deep things. Well, I guess this is pretty deep. My friends are my family. I think 2020 just like proves who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And were you going to say that at one point?
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's okay. I have okay. a different take on it.
Okay. yeah, I just think that I knew my friends were my family, but obviously I love my family. Like, love you guys. But I just like this year really just proves who this. Hold on. This year just really proved to me like who cares about me for real. And that was a beautiful thing.
Well said.
Thanks.
I have had that same lesson, but I actually just wrote, because that's part of my peak is mm-hmm. the whole like friends becoming chosen family situation. But I learned who my friends are and who my friends are not. And it took some like tough stuff to get there. And Sarah and I will get into that. But I'm sure we are not the only people who have had this experience, because I even heard like on a podcast, it was probably Heather McMahon talking about how like the people who just didn't care to reach out to you during this time, I think are like, we literally just had so much time.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, because there were times when I couldn't reach out to anyone. Like I was not able to mentally, emotionally do it. But you know how it is. Like if people are out there living their lives and they don't care to reach out to you when you're going through tough shit,
mm-hmm.
like you can exit my life and never come back. But probably like that's not how I operate. Like I always forgive people and whatever, toxic or not. I don't know. I still have a lot to learn, but it's just
mental notes.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Exactly. It. That's exactly it. It's like, I actually don't like that phrase, like who my friends are, because sometimes people just like are having a moment and they make mistakes. And my philosophy is like, absolutely. You do not need toxicity in your life,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe necessarily in cutting people out like for good for life. I can't. I've seen my family members do that mm-hmm. to people, and I don't always like it, because even if you're like, listen, I got to keep you at an arm's distance mm-hmm. and I can't really hang with you.
Yes.
We had something. We had something, and I can't let that like, you know, fall away.
Completely. I think I completely agree with everything you're saying. I think that it's less like, I like how your brain took us through that because it's less like, if you cross me once, you're done.
Yeah, no, that's the opposite of me and you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just want to clarify that for the listeners, because that's really not who we are at all. And this has been a really tough year. And I know a lot of people, when they get anxious, they reach out less to their friends because, and like, they might be depressed, whatever it is. It's less that. It's more so that we've learned who our friends are, like who's here to really support us.
Right.
And like our friends who were already our friends have like shown up for each other. But what was I going to say? It's also like even if I'm not like, you're out of my life forever, because we can forgive, but it's like, you almost don't forget, or you maybe you don't like put your trust. You like know who to put your trust into.
Yeah.
Like if someone didn't reach out to me all of 2020, or if I reached out and they like barely responded or whatever it was when I was trying to make an effort, then I just know like, okay, maybe you don't value our friendship as much as I did.
Or like at the very least, I'm taking note that like you weren't really responsive to me. And if like, if you come back around, I want you to like have like know that, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like I won't like punish you for life, but like it will, we cannot move forward until you know how I felt about the situation.
That's how I feel, because like I think everyone really is going through it this year. So if like the next time you want to like, you know, nurture a relationship or like rebuild, mm-hmm. you have to like come in knowing that maybe you didn't act the way that like a real friend would.
Right. Like my friend who, I'm not going to name names, but my one friend, she often makes it known to me that her anxiety / depression like leaves her incapable of really reaching out to friends or talk. She'll send me memes a lot that's like, sorry, I haven't reached out, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
But even though she says that, she checks in on me all the time. And it's so funny because she's like, so sorry, I haven't been around. I'm like, you've been around more than like most people I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we've made our point. Was that yours?
It was both of ours, like who our friends are, kind of.
But it was mine last.
Friends, yeah. First. Yeah, so it's your turn.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because I said I learned who my friends are.
Oh, right. Okay. I learned that nothing good lasts forever. That sounds so horrible, but it's the truth. I really learned this year that part of my anxiety. And it's funny because in the last year's episode, I was like, I don't want to say my anxiety anymore. But like, we've progressed. I've learned things since then. And I'm going to keep calling it my anxiety.
Yeah.
Which I will talk about later. But nothing good lasts forever. That sounds really sad. But like, that's what I'm trying to come to terms with. I think a lot of times I love to hang on to things that made me feel some type of high, some type of adrenaline rush, some type of greatness that I, whatever it was, I like, when I feel that, I never want to let it go. And I try and recreate moments all the time because I'm like, well, that was great. I want to do it again and again and again. And doing that doesn't allow for new moments. It's just, you're going to keep feeling disappointment because you're going to keep trying to recreate this old moment.
Yeah.
And like, whatever, like, I'll just like say it. Like, I feel like, oh, actually, I don't know. I'm so nervous. Like, should I say it on the pod?
Yeah. You don't have to like go into specifics, but.
Okay. As y'all know, at the beginning of COVID, I quarantined with Liz, Chris, and our other friend. And I mean, it's an anxious girl's dream. Like, you have your friends who can't leave you. They physically can't leave you. You're stuck together. So even if you're mad at each other, even if it's a rough day,
you have to figure it out.
Leave. And it was legitimately a dream to me. Like, I was like, this is euphoric, whatever. And I loved it. And then we left Philly and I suddenly was like, holy crap, I don't know what I'm going to do, because we just like didn't leave on the best note from Philly.
No, we didn't.
we just didn't. And I'm laughing because I'm nervous. but we didn't leave on the best note. And I felt like after that, I was like, I kept telling myself, like, if only I can recreate those like amazing moments that we had there. Like, all I need is to just feel that one night we had again, or like recreate with the exact same people and like do the exact same thing so that I can feel the way I felt that night. And like, it just didn't happen again. And I learned that that's just simply life. Mm-hmm. Because I needed to learn how to appreciate the good moments for what they were. Mm-hmm. And then move on and create new moments. And I was so hyper-focused on trying to recreate old moments that it was like not, it was making things worse for myself. Because that's just like, that was just like a big lesson I learned, was that like some things just don't last forever. And like, you can't recreate amazing moments over and over and over. And like, once you're able to say, wow, that was great, but it's now in my past, you leave room for new opportunities and new moments. And it really is so corny, but it is like that quote, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. It's so stupid. But like, I really learned how to just look back and smile and say that was fun. Mm-hmm. And then just move on.
I also kind of want to challenge that a little, because I don't think like nothing good lasts forever. I think things just evolve. And like, you know what I mean? Because maybe like that specific mm-hmm. scenario didn't last forever. But like, you know, God willing, you're going to have kids. And like, you know, it's sort of how parents feel. Like, they see their kids and they're like, I can't believe they're getting older. But mm-hmm. then you get to have like all these different experiences with them. So I think you're right to say that, like, and I know exactly what you are talking about. You're saying like,
yeah,
I had this specific moment in mind and I couldn't recreate it. But just in that summary of like, nothing good lasts forever, I think a lot of things just change. And I think we as humans just resist change at every chance we get. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so things may, like, that scenario may not be good any longer, but like, it can evolve into something good. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Looking back, I didn't mean to say nothing good lasts forever. Like, friendships can last a lifetime.
Right.
Family, love, whatever. It was more about, like, when I say good, I meant in relation to, I guess, moments.
Yeah.
Like, moments don't last forever.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't know.
Things that you find happy at one time are not, like, specific things that you derive happiness from are going to change.
Right. Like, let's say that you get into a new relationship and you're in the honeymoon phase, for mm-hmm. example. That honeymoon phase won't last forever.
Exactly.
Even if the relationship is for life.
Exactly. That's really what I meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Because I've been in relationships before where leaving the honeymoon phase was like depressing because I just wanted to recreate that.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be more okay with things, as you said, evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same page.
Okay, another one I have is taking responsibility is really important, and that I learned that on so many different levels this year. First of all, like taking responsibility for the things that I've said that have like hurt people, especially in like kind of coming back onto social media. It just is like, it's so hard, I know, but nothing is harder than like lingering in trying to figure out how you can not take responsibility, or how you can like, you know, step back from that. Because I mean, like a psychiatrist actually explained it so well. It's like living in purgatory when you're between the space of like someone calling you out for doing something wrong and then apologizing. You're just like living in this really terrible space. And then also, spoiler alert, me and Sarah lived together this year. And
what?
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else knew this, but living with your friend is really hard, like no matter the circumstances, whether it's COVID or not. Sarah has even alluded to living with other friends and like having this issue. Same here. I mean, they tell you like you shouldn't live with your best friends for a reason. And we had tough times. And I think we both learned to like take responsibility for our roles in the tough times, because it was just like, at the end of the day, like I don't want to have a friendship with someone where I feel like I like danced around my role in making them feel badly. Because even though it's really hard to like admit when you do something wrong, for me especially, I hate when I do things wrong. But it just, you know, you can't like move on until you're like, oh, I actually like played a role in that. Like even when you're talking about how like June and July were really hard for you, like I know that part of that is because of what we went through. Yeah. And like that is really hard. But I'm so glad, because when you say that to me now, I don't have like I'm not like, oh my God, like it's all because of me. I'm actually like, yeah, that was like that kind of involved me. And I'm so glad that we like worked it out, because otherwise, like where do you go from there if you're two friends and like you have an argument and then you never talk about it, which I think is like how we were before we went through all that stuff, how so many friends are. I don't blame you, like you don't want to have fights or like these tough conversations. But I think just like taking responsibility, and also on the flip side saying like, I didn't like when you did this, or like, I know you didn't mean it this way, but this like really hurt me, is like, please say that more to people, because as hard as it is, it's so much harder to live in purgatory. You know,
absolutely. I say that a lot. I say that a lot.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I have one more, by the way.
I do too.
I don't know. Okay,
actually,
perfect.
I have two.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So you go, then I go, then you go again.
Okay. Okay. Actually, yeah. Okay. I learned this year in 2020 that I can handle my anxiety and that I am resilient. I spoke in last year's year in review episode about how I no longer want to use the words my anxiety, because I want to separate myself from anxiety. And I used to, and while that was a good stepping stone for me at the time, I used to want to separate myself from anxiety because I was like, this doesn't define me. Like, I don't want to think of myself as just this like anxious gal all the time. I mean, I am, but I've learned this year that, first of all, anxiety is not something you want to fully get rid of, because you kind of need it. You want your brain to be functioning in all of its ways. You want to feel sadness. You want to feel anger. You want to feel anxiety when you might be in danger. You want your brain to alert you when you need to be alerted. But I also just like used to want to get rid of it. Like I remember in last year's episode, I was like, if I like separate myself from my anxiety, then I will somehow, like, eventually I won't have this forever.
Right.
But it is a part of me. It is part of who I am, and it is what makes me me. And something I'm still learning day to day is just that, like, I can handle uncertainty. In the moments, it feels like I cannot. Like, when I'm sitting there and I don't know what the outcome of a situation is going to be, aka this entire year, whether that's COVID, whether that's the status, the state of my friendships with people, whatever it is, like I thought for sure, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get through this without knowing answers. And my therapist was like, if you keep asking questions, you're going to have, no, sorry. If you keep wanting more answers, those answers will only lead to more questions. And so I kind of stopped, well, not entirely, but I stopped constantly looking for answers out of other people, because it only leads to more questions. And I realized that like I can live with uncertainty, and it's just, it's extremely hard. And I know there was a lot that I just kind of put out there. Like I hope I didn't confuse at all.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But I'm resilient and I can handle anxiety, which is a big deal because I really never thought I was going to be able to say that. But yeah, I can do it.
Growth. We love to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my last thing that I learned this year. Everyone not liking me is fine. Mm. I actually said last year, like, what do I want for 2020? I want to make myself uncomfortable. That's what I said. Mm. You silly girl. Because I made myself, not on purpose, but I was like, I faced that number one fear of like people not liking me. And I'm almost over it. Like, I won't say I'm fully over it. You want some people to like you, like, yeah, you want your friends to like you, which will bring me to my other thing. But yeah, I feel very free knowing to some, like, even on social media more and more, I've been like saying things that I just like believe, and I'm not out here being like crazy, but I used to just be like, I don't want to say that because like that's going to upset someone. And it turns out that I said things that upset people, and like, I didn't even realize it. So when you try to like police what you're saying and like what you believe, you will never end up in a good place. And I think I would so much rather like have some people that don't like me than, yeah, like, and I actually should have learned that a long time ago, because every single person I love, well, I don't know about you. You're very well liked, so I'm not going to use that as you as an example, but I'm also not going to say who the people are, but two people in my life who are very close to me have like so many people who don't like them. And I'm just like, I love those people. Like, those people are the best. Mm-hmm. And like, the people who do love those people who some people don't like, the people who love them like so much. I would so much rather be a person that like a few people adore and love than a person that a lot of people like, mm-hmm, like miss me with that. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I consider myself like a very good person who considers, whenever we make this podcast, for instance, we are out here like, we do not want to offend. We want to, yes, be inclusive. We want to include everyone. But also at a certain point, we're both kind of like, we're doing our best, and not everyone's going to like what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So,
or people may think we have different intentions than we do.
Yeah.
And we can't convince everyone.
No, and nor should we. Like, yeah, if you don't think that we're like, I don't know.
If you don't
know,
believe us, like, what else can we say?
I can't, like, yeah, I can't spend my life trying to prove things to people.
Yeah,
so
agreed. As hard as we try.
As hard as we try.
Yeah.
Still.
All right. My last thing was I learned that I can be fully alone. I moved into a studio this year, and you did too.
So did I.
And yes. I was like really nervous about this beforehand. I was like, how am I going to live completely by myself? Like, I was nervous about nights. I was nervous about Sundays, especially in COVID. Like, you don't see anyone all day, every day while you're working. So I was kind of nervous about it. And I am loving the studio life. I mean, thank God, like, Liz and I are pretty much neighbors. Mm-hmm. So that's helped, of course. I'm not like on a deserted island being like, I love being alone.
No.
But I am okay by myself. And that is a great lesson.
I agree. Good lesson for both of us. I mean, I still have to sleep with my TV on, and I put a sleep timer on because I just get scared. It's not like, yeah, I can't be alone, but I just get scared.
No, I get it.
As if like the office being on my TV is going to protect me.
I mean, please.
You never know.
I'm like, I don't need the TV. I don't need podcasts. And then I watch TikToks for 3 hours. Yeah. So it's like, same.
Yeah. Okay. That's it for me, for what I learned.
Same.
Okay. So the big kahuna, is there another category you wrote down that I missed before peak and pit?
No.
Okay.
I
think we should do like pit, peak. Like, we both say pits and we both say peaks.
Look, pit, peak.
Pit, pit, peak, peak. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How many do you have? Do you know?
I don't know, but
we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Okay. Designers, make it work. okay. Pit number one was, I'm trying to think, what should my number one be? Let's make this poetic. My first pit was the day I had to come home from New York. And it was like just a day. It was really bad, like on social media. And
the day you had to come back,
the day I went home to Philadelphia from New York, I had always planned on being home. And it was actually sort of cosmic that like the day it just wasn't going well for me, I got to go home. But it was so bad. Like, I walked into my mom's house to like unpack my stuff because I was sort of putting some stuff at her house. And then I was going to like live with Chris for the summer. And I just could not like sit up straight. Like, I was a shell of a human being. And my mom like kind of just didn't really understand what was going on. Not in any bad way. It's just like, you can't explain like internet culture to parents. Like, they kind of just, it really took her a while to understand. And she ultimately did. But she was like, She thought I was upset because moving was really hard. And I was so frustrated. I was like, no, like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, I was like screaming at her. I was like, that's not what's happening, Mom. Like, you have to understand this is like a really big deal. And I remember like taking my stuff out of my bag and like just crying every time I like took something out of my bag. I like couldn't do anything. And of course, like waking up the next morning. I mean, is there anything worse than waking up to like a bad time?
The pit's already there.
It's right. Yeah. You wake up and you have to like remind yourself. Yeah. Oh no. It was so awful. It was just an awful, awful time. I am so thankful for like the days that started to get brighter and the meaning that I found during that time. But it was like, I just can't, you can't explain it. I'm such an advocate against cancel culture, and I was before, but like, people, the way that we try to get people to be better is not by attacking them. I will never believe it is that way. Even for people who do really egregious things. I've always been taught, like, weren't we taught that when we were kids? Like, before we like throw stones at people on the internet, please like remember that there's other people on the other end. And this will be more peak, but like, I'm just so thankful for the people who like really came through. So that's my first pit. Duh. Like, everyone knew that was going to be one of my pits.
Right.
But,
right. Yeah. My first pit is the death of George Floyd. It shook the entire country for obvious reasons. But it really shook me to my core. I say that in a really serious way because, I think like a lot came to light for me at that time. And it was like, I felt a lot of shame in the month of June.
Yeah.
Because I knew about the racial inequality and the history of racial inequality in this country. I knew about it, obviously. I'm not like blind, and I was educated, but I wasn't actively thinking about it all the time. And like, I have black friends, and I, you know, talking to them previously, I didn't even think that that was something that they had been thinking about every single day.
Yeah.
Or something that was impacting them all the time. Like, it wasn't top of mind for me.
Yeah.
And I felt like so much shame in June. And I'm not like trying to say I shouldn't have felt shame. Like, I'm sure someone who is listening would probably be like, as you should.
Yeah.
I don't regret it. But I just like felt really, really guilty about not caring. It's not that I didn't care.
It
wasn't a day-to-day thought for me. And I obviously, sorry, last thing I'm going to say is like, I obviously like, that's not to say I don't think about other people. I don't think about the injustices in this world. I do all the time.
We know.
But it was really jarring.
Yeah.
And I felt really like helpless, and I just like felt really, really sad about that.
Yeah, I think it just was, it's human nature to dissociate from things affecting groups that aren't your own. It's like biological. We like protect our own, and we use less resources in our brain to pay attention to other people. But it just was so, like, for lack of a better word, in our face.
Yeah.
And I think that you would definitely say that was like a pit that ultimately like just made you grow and like absolutely was part of the reason 2020 was like such a shift year.
Yeah. It's part of my peak too, but yeah. I needed to start with the pit because it's not just a peak, obviously.
No. And I think also, I had something I was going to say. I was just watching this girl's Instagram today who was very, active in, her name's Dom Roberts and I love her, but she was very active at the time of George Floyd's death and the weeks that followed, just talking about how white people can be better allies and why it's important to educate one another or like to listen when people are trying to educate you. Mm-hmm. And she actually today, so that was like June, she today posted this Instagram story where she talked about how like she was like doing all this work to try to be an activist and she didn't realize that like she wasn't taking care of herself, and she's like, I'm just now processing that these people died. And that like really struck me because I think while everyone was like sort of learning these things about like political things and justice things, it's also people died. Yeah. And we watched it.
Yeah.
And it's for everyone, especially the black community, like that is just, that stabs you right in the heart. Yes. It's like, that is the biggest, it's grief. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so I think we like, as people who are trying to be allies, experienced our own like shift, but I also just like my heart and your heart, I know our hearts go out to the people who are still dealing with this, still watching it happen and just grieving.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of grief.
Absolutely.
This year. So much grief. Like besides, you know, besides the black people who have been killed, there's just immense grief.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't not talk about it.
Right. And I think that, I really wanted to talk about it on this episode, but I think another pit in the same like umbrella of that pit was not only the work that I was doing on myself, but like, you know, I saw a lot of comments going around that were like using the words performative activism. Mm-hmm. But there's really no way to explain the work that you're doing like in your own home.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, I'm not trying to sit here and prove anything. Like, I know what I know, you know what you know, and that's it. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
As we said in the last like 2 minutes ago. But like I just had so many fights at home, and like it was a lot of anger and tears, and like, because when you're unlearning something, it's like so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's just like really, really painful. And so yeah, I mean, that was a part of the pit too. It was just like a lot of fighting with my family.
Yeah. And like trying to reconcile your own thoughts with like what's actually happening.
Right.
It's
right,
a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So. Okay. Peaks, some peaks. We're going to do it like pit, peak, peak.
Yeah.
So peak number one was the day. I'm going to kind of make it like they connect.
My first peak.
Okay, good. My first peak was the day I came back to social media was like, it took me so long to figure out how can I make people know how sorry I am, but also not let people who have no interest in my taking responsibility, how can I make it so that I'm taking accountability but also not letting evil people like walk all over me?
Yeah.
And I just like made this video and put it together, and I waited a little while and then I posted it, and I just was like, it was just so cathartic, like the most cathartic thing that I've ever experienced. And not every single person was positive about it, I know, but the people who were, like, I see you. And it was just great. Short one, but it was,
love it.
It was great.
My peak is also related to my pit. Earlier I said in my pit that I felt very helpless.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm not trying to make this like very important issue in this country about me.
Yeah,
it's
no.
I'm just explaining it from my point of view, because that's all I can do.
That's all we can do.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, keep going.
Okay. My peak, honestly, was being in New York City during a revolutionary time.
Yeah.
Like, I went to various protests for Black Lives Matter, and I literally felt like I was in the middle of a textbook. I was like,
history.
It was unbelievable. Obviously there was so much anger, there was so much hurt. But at the same time, like, standing with people from the Black community who are dancing and singing in the streets because they are just like celebrating life. In the middle of a protest, when you're like grieving the loss of someone in your community, like just being a part of that and like standing with them, it was unbelievable. Like, I took so many videos and I was just like, this is amazing to see. And I felt like New York City at the time, I mean, it was, you know, we were all still quarantined. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that we're not now, but like, you know, restaurants were not open. Stores weren't really open. Everything was boarded up in New York City. It felt like a ghost town. And then all of a sudden, for the first time in like 5 months, people are coming to the streets to like fight for something. And it felt like everyone was united. And it was just like, it was unbelievable. Like, we would walk in the streets and there would be like old men out their windows. I'm waving right now.
Right.
But like old men like waving out their windows, like, you got this. And then like people would start clapping, and then the nurses would come out of the hospital. We would clap for them. They would clap for us. Like, it was unbelievable. And I just was like, I'll never forget it. It was like, I felt like I was a part of history.
History. Totally.
And I'm not trying to use the word I. I'm just explaining it from the only way I can, which is my perspective. Yeah.
I love that. It makes sense. We were all just cooped up, and
yeah,
for so many reasons that was needed. But it's so nice, like, when, you know, this sort of shared like goal becomes the thing that bonds you. And I totally hear that. So pit number two, I lost a friend this year, and I like will try and act like I don't care about it and like their loss kind of thing. But I don't feel that way. Like I can't, it's like not in my blood to feel that way. And, I'm not used to it. I think as I was saying before, like I am used to being liked cause I sort of just like dance around everyone. And, I just, it's a horrible feeling. And I haven't gotten over it. And I live with it and like I've begun to understand it, but it feels awful. Like when you have a relationship with someone and then suddenly you don't, it's terrible. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And I know that I'm not the only person that this happened to this year. And I just hope that like things, like, I don't want to say like things become like it goes back to the way it was, but I hope that like the new year and new days bring clarity and like a better sense of everything. Cause I think this year, just for both my sake and my friend's sake, like it just has been horrible, like this year, mm-hmm. as everyone knows. So that's why I'm glad Sarah and I kind of talked through that, like what it means to lose a friend thing. Cause it just made everything a lot clearer. I don't think it's not in my DNA to like lose people forever. And my door is open, right. like for people who want to reconnect. And, I hope that other people can sort of like understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. Not saying you should invite toxicity into your life, but just know mm-hmm. that like everyone is dealing with their own shit this year and have patience with one another, I think, you know?
Definitely. My pit. I keep laughing every time I get nervous. My pit was that I spent a good chunk of this summer thinking I wasn't going to be friends with Liz again. I mean, listen, whether that was the truth or not, it's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I catastrophize everything that happens to me and I really thought it was like going to be the end of the world. But it was like very much Pittsville for me, like day after day, as we said, like we just left Philly on like not the best note. And then the weeks following Philly, we weren't really addressing what was going on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that, and, and then we took some space. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. And then, yeah. And then we took some space. I'm just like telling you all what, you know, airing it all out. But,
this will be a highly, listened to episode.
Basically, Liz and I took some space from one another, and that doesn't mean we didn't like just, it's not like we didn't speak for 3 months, but we just like weren't talking as often. And like, I didn't see her for a while.
And we were taking a break from the podcast because of everything going on too. So we really didn't have a reason to like speak, connect with each other every week.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just like, you know, we weren't really like day to day, connecting, and it was like just so horrible. Like I was so sad because, I just like, you're my best friend. And I was just I mean, there's really nothing else to say. That's the end. Yeah. I was really, really sad about it. And I didn't know I couldn't, I mean, this is what anxiety does, but I couldn't see a world where like things got better. Like I was just like, this is forever. Like this is, and I wanted to, and we were saying like, we would say to one another, like, we hope that this gets better. But I really couldn't see, I was like, I don't see a world where this, like it ever gets better.
Yeah.
Or, and I was like, and you know what? It's funny. I kept saying, how is this ever going to go back to the way it was? And it didn't. And I'm so blessed for that because we're better than ever.
I know.
And that's my peak. Okay. Keep going.
I
mean, that's my pit.
Your pit. Okay. Okay. So my peak, I guess goes back to the like losing a friend thing. I think my peak was, I sort of already,
your pee, oh, you said your pay, right?
Yeah, I sort of already touched on this, but just like, yes, it's been hard, but just like knowing that I am me and like I'm so much strong, like I really am just such a stronger person because I'm not basing my identity on like how other people feel about me. I'm still a human, so I still do that, but so much less. Like it just is so much less. So peak is like being you and like being as you are. And I don't have anything else to say. Being who you are, and like when you lose friends, when that happens, it's so hard. But you know, you lost them because like you're not compatible with.
And she's not talking about me, by the way.
No. That's coming up next. just peak is like, God, like be who you are, and if people like can't deal with that. Like, maybe you're just not vibing right now, and like, you'll take a break from each other. And I'm not, again, I can't reiterate enough, I'm not talking about Sarah. I will in a second. Don't worry.
Okay. My peak is Shabbat. So Shabbat is the Jewish Sabbath, which is like our rest day on Saturdays, starts Friday night, because Jewish holidays always start the night before.
Sundown to sundown.
Yes. This year, Liz, Alana, and I have really started prioritizing like Shabbat and what it means to us. And we really took, well, first of all, in quarantine, Liz and I really took the whole rest thing.
Yeah.
Like really seriously. We would turn our phones off for the whole like Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And I really, really tried to stop working like on Saturdays completely. And I just, we started lighting candles at sundown every Friday, and we just prioritized it. And like, I can't even explain how much of a peak this is for me. Like, it is so important. It's one of the most important things. And if you're not Jewish, like, you can still do a ritual on Friday that separates your work week or your school week or whatever it is you're doing. You can still do something that separates that from your weekend.
Amen.
And make it a rest weekend. Like, there are things to be done, and it's just so like that moment where you acknowledge that there's a separation between the two. And for us, it's lighting candles. It's legitimately a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful. And I like want to do it for the rest of my life. I mean, like, I know I said nothing lasts forever, but like Shabbat does.
Yes. And God willing, we will be able to live near each other for our whole lives, so that like we get even better at turning our phones off, so that we can just spend time with each other.
Yes.
Wait, okay, so we just did peaks. Okay, this is the last, this is my last pit. So my pit was not being in a good place with Sarah. And I think, as I was saying before, it's like really hard to, it's like one thing to feel sad because you don't, like how you felt sad, that you weren't sure like where we were going to be as friends, which is your fear. Like you went through your fear. Mine was doing something to hurt another person. And I'm not out here being like, I'm such a selfless person that my biggest fear is that. It's like, no, I have such a hard time when I do something wrong. Because I like am so mean to myself already that like when I do something wrong, I'm like, I am terrible. And it was, I have never been through with a friend what I went through with you. And I'm, again, I'll get into why I'm so glad that we did, because like, how do people know how hard it is? Like, it's one thing when you have like a romantic partner, because that's like you're supposed to kind of have those tough conversations. But when you're you have a friend, it is so hard to like address things that are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And Sarah and I really were uncomfortable. And like, I really, I guess this is another thing I learned. Like, I really learned how to communicate better, because I also was not good at communicating, and it just spiraled. And like, just the summer was so bad in so many ways. Yeah. And I didn't, we really weren't connected, and it was just so hard to like have to take a break from your friend. Like that you even had a hard time talking about it, because you were like, what does that mean when you're friends?
Yeah.
But Pitt, I know I don't like hurting people, and I don't like having to have tough conversations with friends, but I'm glad I did, and I'll get into that in a little.
Mm-hmm. My Pitt is that I like barely saw my parents in 2020.
Yeah.
It's just been hard. It's been really hard. My parents, well, my dad specifically is a little more COVID vulnerable than my mom.
Yeah.
So, which would make both of them COVID vulnerable, because my mom can't get it either. And I just didn't want either of them getting it. You don't want your loved ones getting sick and potentially like, you know, whatever. So it was really tough. I didn't see them much. And for someone who already fears losing people, but especially my parents, it's a fear of mine every day, losing them like in life, not just like emotionally.
Yeah.
Like not being able to see them has been tough for sure. And it makes me worried, because time is moving quickly, and we don't get moments, we don't get time back. But I just know that hopefully, God willing, when we're vaccinated, hopefully like I will be able to spend some very much needed quality time with them.
I think what you're saying is, yes, your experience, but so universal, because I think so many people right now are like, when you're dealing with people who have vulnerabilities, especially older people, there's this confusion that people have, because they're like, I do not, I cannot get this person sick, but also I don't know how much longer they're going to be on this planet.
Exactly.
And so it's like, what do I do? And I just really commend you for talking about it because I know it's your experience, but like, this is so hard to talk about because everyone is the COVID police. Everyone has a different opinion about it. And I just think your story so encapsulates like what people are going through. And I know I'm not trying to like make your story like, oh yeah, everyone goes through this.
No,
I think it's, I think
feel better just, when other people go through. No, this. I mean, not that I feel better that other people are in pain, but
no, but you feel
good to know I'm not alone.
Yeah. So just, I know it's hard, but I think it just, I'm so glad you're talking about it. My last peak is Sarah and I, Sarah kind of touched on this already, but going through something with someone is like, it's like, it was like magic. It's just like magic. No, but having to sit down and like have a tough conversation with Sarah sucked. And then we like never looked back.
Never.
We never looked back. Like we sat down with each other, addressed the elephant in the room, and then just kept going. And like, we are obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
And not only that, but like Sarah and Chris are obsessed with each other. Like we're just a gang. We're a gang of fools.
Yeah.
And even like, like Alana, for instance, like she and I didn't go through the same thing you and I went through, but like going through your with your friends, anything tough, you're bonded. Like because Sarah and I had a tough situation, we like know what we know what we each look like when we're going through a tough situation, and just makes you so much closer with people. And I brought up Alana because she and I had a different experience, but my point is, like, it, you don't have to have a falling out with someone to get better. It's just like when you open yourself up to be vulnerable with someone else, it's gold. Like it's so hard, but it's so worth it. Not the like having a falling out, but you know what I mean? Like having those tough times just brings you so much closer to people. And I feel that way about Sarah and Alana for different reasons.
Yeah. I think that was going to be my last peak too. Is just like where we're at. Like y'all
team.
I just want to paint a picture really quickly. Liz and I hadn't seen each other for like what? Over 2 months. I didn't see you in
May to August.
Yeah. Or July. No, August. It was a long, I didn't see her the entire summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Barely spoke. Didn't see one another. And then I arrived to your apartment. I remember is like, I like had just walked across the park. I'm like sweaty. I walk in. We're like, hey.
Yeah.
We're like, hey.
Remember that TikTok?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, duh. That's what you were doing. Okay.
We're like, hey, it was like, how you doing? Yeah. It was like, it wasn't awkward. It was just like, we both knew that there was a lot ahead of us.
Yeah.
And Liz had made me dinner that night. And I remember being like, oh my God, that's so nice. And we like sat down and I remember sitting on the couch being like, you just like jumped right into it.
I know what you're going to say.
No, you just jumped right into it. Like I was going to take my first bite of the veggie burger with the cheese.
And then we like didn't eat it for like 3 hours.
Yeah. And I remember being like, oh, are we getting
you
into
said,
it?
You said, are we doing this now?
Are we doing this now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so funny when we remember these moments. Late.
We're women. We remember things.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we're doing this now. And you were like, yeah. And then we just like got into it and it was the most healing thing ever. Like,
ever.
It was unbelievable. And it proved to me that like space is just exactly what we needed, which like I hate admitting because I hate space.
Yeah.
But I don't suggest like you fight with your friend once, like you take a 3 month break. Like,
no,
definitely not. But it just like brought us to an amazing, amazing place. Like BH, like I'm so happy. And it's just like, it's so true that when you go through actual trauma with someone, whether that's collective trauma, AKA COVID, quarantining, like getting canceled, losing a podcast together for a couple months, whatever it was, plus a fight between us, it was like so much had happened that when you get to the other side, it's like just bliss.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And you feel so bonded and you're just like, this is my person.
Like, yeah. And also like when you go through all those things, then you know in the future, God forbid, like it'll happen again in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Like you know the person.
And we're not scared to like tell each other things anymore.
No. Yeah.
How many nights have we sat down drunk being like, I don't know, whatever. I don't even know what I was
going to
say.
That was a different episode, Sarah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And also I don't even want to do this. Like last year we did, what are we looking forward to? I'm not even going to say anything.
No, no.
No, no. Whatever God brings my way, honestly, like, thank you so much. Like, just do what you need to do and I'll follow you. And I'm talking to God, by the way. Like, I know that a lot of people, religion's tough, but like, I'm not suggesting you speak to the person I'm speaking to. Just like, connecting with like something deeper and just knowing like you cannot predict for anything. I don't care if you're an atheist, Jewish, Buddhist. I don't care.
Yeah.
You can't
see into the future.
Right. You cannot see into the future. Thank you, Raven Simone. So just let it be.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Listen, we could hope for good things. We can pray for good things, but we don't know.
We don't know.
No idea what's going to happen. So see y'all in 2021 and let's just hope it's a little better than this one.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
You can follow me at Liz Height on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. Twitter is at It's Fine I'm Fine PD, and then on TikTok at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. We're gonna make some more TikToks, don't you all worry.
Yeah.
How about you, Sarah? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone on everything.
That's unlike Nancy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. And thank you for listening even after we went on a little break and
bearing
back,
with us. Bearing with us.
And doing 2020 together. It was not the easiest, but how can you find the positive?
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Oh, wait. Whoa, 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 whoa,
what,
whoa,
what?
Whoa. And with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.